From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Military leaders are making an announcement right now in Egypt, making the case for the removal of President Mohamed Morsi. He is Egypt's first democratically elected leader. Let's take a listen in through a translator.
The Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court will declare before the court the early presidential election where the Justice of the Constitutional Court will run the state's affairs during the interim period until new president is elected. The Chief Justice of the Constitutional Justice will have the power to hand down presidential decrees during the interim period. A technocrat national government will be formed, capable and qualified.
Again, we're listening to a member of the Egyptian military speaking for the first time today, and it has been a wild day. They are making the case, which they have made, for the removal of President Morsi, and also are said to be laying out a roadmap for where the country goes from here. Let's just recap a little bit of what we've been watching today. The military had set a 48-hour deadline for President Morsi to resolve the crisis in the country or step down from office. That deadline passed several hours ago. We didn't hear much, except we could see crowds, thousands gathered in Tahrir Square, people who are opponents of the president. His supporters were also gathering as well. Then as the day went on, we heard a word from David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times that he felt he was witnessing a coup in Cairo. The U.S. State Department said that they could not be sure that was what was happening. Now we're hearing reports that actually President Morsi was told that he is no longer president several hours ago.
And Kimberly Adams, Robin, is right there outside of Tahrir Square, and she joins us now. Kimberly, how are the crowds reacting to this this conference from the military?
Well, you can probably hear behind me there are so many fireworks going off, and you can hear these deafening cheers from the crowd who have just finished hearing this announcement from the military general al-Sisi on loudspeakers and on big screens over Tahrir Square. And right now the crowd is just going wild. And if you want to listen, you can hear these fireworks going off.
Yeah, let's listen for a second, Kimberly. And those are real fireworks, the kind you see on the 4th of July that's coming here.
Yes, they are, and they're bright colors, red, yellow, green, and going off so many at a time. I'm seeing dozens of fireworks exploding at once over Tahrir Square, where there are literally thousands of people waving flags and cheering, and some of them even look like they're dancing. It's definitely a party down there.
But Kimberly, we'd also been hearing over the course of the day that Egyptian troops were spreading out across the city, and the Associated Press was reporting at one point that they were actually surrounding the supporters of the president. They've been gathering as well. What's the concern about what happens now between these huge groups of people?
Well, it's between those huge groups of people, the conflict between those two, that they're actually worried about. In some of these protests over the past few days, there have been violent conflicts between the two groups of protesters. And actually, the Morsi supporters seem to be the target more often than not. There was a big demonstration last night of pro-Morsi supporters outside Cairo University, and they were attacked by armed men, and dozens of people were killed and hundreds injured.
And Kimberly, we're hearing that it's going to be a technocratic government in the short term. What do we know so far about this roadmap that's being announced for Egypt's future?
Well, I was listening right along with you guys, and so I'm still getting the details in, but it looks like that they're going to follow the constitutional rule, as best I can tell, is that they're going to have a National Reconciliation Committee, that Morsi is no longer going to be leader, and I believe that the head of one of the constitutional courts is going to be stepping into a leadership position while they work through this transition. But as you know, we were just listening to it, we're still getting all the details.
And we're also hearing that they may be suspending the constitution, that they are suspending the constitution, which is a new constitution in Egypt as it is. Are the people in the square behind you likely to be happy about that?
It's hard to judge, because one of the things that's important to know about these protests is that people have come from a broad political spectrum on both sides. The groups that are supporting Morsi and those opposed to him tend to cross a lot of cultural boundaries, although Morsi supporters tend to be primarily from the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Constitution was a pretty even split when it was voted in, and many people thought it had too much of an Islamist tilt. And so I imagine these supporters here in Tahrir are probably pretty pleased about the Constitution being suspended.
And we have been reporting on that for a while now. As you know, Kimberly, this idea that it was considered that the Morsi government, they overreached, especially when it came to the Islamist factions. But this is the same, these are the same people in the streets that overthrew Morsi's predecessor, Hosni Mubarak. How are they going to respond to a military-led government?
Well, they've been calling for this military-led government, which is, as you mentioned, pretty odd, given that just a little bit over a year ago, they were asking for the military to step down. So I think they're going to be very, very cautious about observing the military. People who I've asked about this, I say, you know, how do you feel about bringing the military back? And they say, well, we know we can return to the streets. And if they get out of hand, we're going back to the streets to kick them out, too.
Kimberly Adams, a freelance reporter in Cairo. Stand by. I want to bring in Michael Hanna, a senior fellow at the Century Foundation. Michael, just to give us your thoughts on this incredible moment in Egypt.
Well, it is incredible. I mean, to think that Egypt now has its third executive authority in 3 years' time, and the previous 60, they had seen three. So obviously, it's been a tumultuous period. I think it's obviously a complicated one as well. Military interventions in democratic processes are fraught, often are setbacks for democratic consolidation, clearly. This is an elected leader who is being deposed in a coup. I think there's no question about that definitionally. That being said, what we've also seen is an unprecedented, in fact, bigger crowds than came out to depose and topple Mubarak during the 18 days. I was there for much of that time. But looking at the pictures from afar, these crowds are much, much bigger. There's geographic dispersion. And so it's you have a complicated set of sort of countervailing factors here. I think the military, it is clear, still views its role in terms of having a guardianship over national security, and they think of that very broadly. And this was seen as within the traditional powers of the military, in the sense that they see themselves as guarding national security, that the country was divided and polarized, that national security and stability were at stake, and they've made very clear, or attempted to make clear, at least rhetorically, that this is not a political act by the military, but that they're acting in their capacity as the protectors of the national of national security.
We heard military people earlier today saying that this is not a coup. Or if this were to happen, and it has happened, it would not be a coup because they're doing it on behalf of the people. But Michael, before we look at more that might be happening in the future, just stay in this moment. What happens to President Morsi? We were hearing speculation that he might be led away in handcuffs. We heard earlier that there's been a travel ban placed against him. What's your sense of what's going to happen to him?
Well, I mean, you know, we're hearing these things and rumors are flying.
Sure.
It's hard to know. A lot of unverified reports. You know, I don't know if he's under house arrest. We've heard that at multiple junctures. And we have heard about travel bans in place. I would hope that this isn't and does not become a pretext for vindictiveness. I think what Egypt has lacked is consensus. And if this becomes a pedestal upon which to launch a different kind of polarizing politics, I think that would be a very big mistake.
Yeah.
Who takes power next, Michael? I mean, where do they go from here? If they didn't like what the Muslim Brotherhood was giving them, where do the Egyptian people want to go next?
Well, it's hard to know what the transition roadmap looks like. We do know that the constitution is suspended. There will be a constitutional committee that's going to draft a new one. There are going to be early elections. It's not clear what the sequence will be, whether that goes executive then parliamentary. The head of the Supreme Constitutional Court is essentially filling in as the executive authority. But it's not clear how all these mechanics are going to work. It is clear, I think, that this transition period is going to be quite short. I think one aspect of the previous juncture after the toppling of Mubarak, when the military was in a sense the interim authority for 18 months, one lesson that they've learned from that, which during what was a very tumultuous, unhappy time, I think, for many Egyptians, was that this transition is going to, they're going to attempt to have it be truncated and shortened. I don't think they want to drag this out any longer. The country has very, very serious problems, economic, political, social, and obviously a sort of belabored transition at this point is not going to be in anybody's benefit.
Well, and of course, the most important thing right now, Michael, is what is happening in Egypt and what it means to the Egyptians and then to the region. But what does it mean to the United States, briefly, as we go to the break?
Very complicated. As a legal matter, there are restrictions in terms of aid to governments who've conducted a coup. And so how this gets spun in terms of what has just happened in Egypt will be important. There will be a PR war in terms of how people will frame this narrative. I think clearly it is a coup that has as a sort of technical academic term. But I think there are some countervailing considerations, and the fact that it is being supported by mass mobilization that is unprecedented, and it's unclear what would have been the alternative. I think resignation would have been a far preferable path for Egypt and for the United States as well.
Yeah, Michael Hanna of the Century Foundation, helping us understand the news as it unfolds. Michael, thank you. And again, if you've just joined us, the military in Egypt has just made its first statement of the day, announcing the overthrow of President Morsi. And there are millions of people crowding Tahrir Square in Cairo. We're going to speak to one of them when we come back in 1 minute, here and now.
This is Here and Now, and we are witnessing history in Egypt again. Just a little more than a year after Mohamed Morsi came to power as the president of that country, he has been overthrown by the military. They have just laid out a roadmap of what will come next. It looks like there will be elections soon. But let's get the latest from Thanasi Kambanis, who is a journalist specializing in the Middle East. He's a fellow at the Century Foundation. He's with us from Cairo. Thanasi, what are you seeing there, and what's the latest?
Well, there's the expected celebratory gunfire, yodeling, cars honking, a lot of thankful prayers being shouted in the air. It's a lot of euphoria, and this is exactly what the crowds that filled the streets on June 30th were hoping for. And it's been so far not as bloody as some people feared, but really tonight is going to be the test case to see if the Brotherhood supporters, who have been telling me all day that they would give their blood to redeem the legitimacy of Morsi, if they will take this quietly, and if the military is going to be able to keep the peace after making this announcement just now.
Hey, Thanasi, Robin here, and that's what we were wondering, because we have been seeing these huge crowds in Tahrir Square, opponents of the president, but we've seen very, very big crowds as well of his supporters. We were hearing that Egyptian troops were actually fanning out across Cairo to surround those supporters of the president. I'm not sure to protect them or what. So what is your sense? Tell us more about what might be next there.
I mean, the military obviously wants to keep things peaceful, right? Their whole game here is to sort of keep a nice lid on the country, sort of release the anger that was evident in the protests without breaking out into civil strife. So, of course, they want to contain the Brotherhood pockets, and whether to protect them or to keep them from hurting someone else, it doesn't really matter. It's to sort of cordon them off. What we have to see is how angry are these supporters going to be? This is not Mubarak's regime. This is a 80-year-old major movement with millions of followers, and the president that they elected, with along with more than 50% of the population, was just deposed by an army announcement. So there's going to be millions of people who actually viewed this man as legitimate, who saw their legitimate president just 5 minutes or 10 minutes ago removed by army fiat. Many of them are going to have the same kind of righteous anger that the original Egyptian revolt had, and that's a very combustible thing.
We've been hearing all along that what people want in Egypt is stability. They want political stability. They want economic stability. The economic conditions have been terrible there. Is there any sense now, given what we've just seen happen in the last hour, that stability is coming any time soon to Egypt?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I think you guys already heard people explain that none of Egypt's major problems have short-term fixes. There's no quick fix for the disastrous economy and for the sort of unraveling security situation. So the real question is, what is political life going to be going forward? And I think there's actually a silver lining in this. It's that Egyptians don't just want stability. They want respectful government. They want rulers who are going to take them into consideration. And so now they've overthrown in under 3 years, three different regimes, the military, Mubarak's regime, and now Brotherhood elected president. So if the message is properly received by the next leaders of Egypt, what they'll understand is they can't mess it up. They've got to actually deliver some results and treat people well and consult opposition parties and consult the population, or else they too will be overthrown. And some Egyptians want stability, but even more than that, they want results.
Yeah. That's Thanasi Kambanis, formerly of the Boston Globe and now with the Century Foundation, reporting from an area he's reported so much on, and to be there on this day. Just briefly, Thanasi, to be there on this day, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've been at the day Mubarak stepped down. I've been here the day Morsi was inaugurated, and now a year later, the day he's falling. And I feel a little bit of excitement and a little bit of despair. And the mm-hmm. thing that makes me sad is that there's a lot of authoritarianism in the air. And the thing that makes me excited is to see that people haven't lost their energy to demand their voices be heard.
Thanasi, thanks as always. Be safe.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Okay, let's bring in Jill Goldenziel. She's a scholar at the International Security Program at Harvard University. We just, in the few minutes we have, Jill, we just, you know, your thoughts on what this means for democracy, for the region.
Sure. It's not clear yet, I think, what exactly this means for democracy. Mohamed Morsi was, is the appropriate word, the democratically elected president of Egypt. And this, what is very much looking like a military coup, is being done in the name of democracy, in the name of giving Egypt legitimate political leadership that the public can support. And I think it is certainly too soon to tell exactly what this is going to mean for democracy in Egypt over the long term, and that will depend what the new constitution says, what the new elections bring, and what the public does in response to them in Egypt.
What about the rest of the region? We know that the rest of the Arab world watches Egypt very closely, and Egypt was not the first country to turn during the Arab Spring, but it was one of the first. What do you think the impact is going to be on the other countries around Egypt?
I think that the rest of the world will continue to watch Egypt very closely. Egypt sees itself historically as the leader of the Arab world, if not the Muslim world overall. And I think that there are a lot of people in Egypt's public and also in Egypt's political leadership who continue to see themselves this way and take this position very seriously. So I think that whatever happens will certainly have ramifications for what the rest of the region will do. Whether it will inspire any sort of immediate political transition elsewhere, I think it's too soon to tell.
Well, and it's also interesting. We're seeing what's happening in Egypt, but we're reminded that in Syria, the Islamist factions that are moving into that area are gaining the upper hand, whereas here this could be seen as a loss for the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamists. But your sense going forward, we know the military has suspended the Islamist-backed constitution. They say Morsi will be replaced. They are calling for elections. Your sense of how this might proceed smoothly, maybe that's wishful thinking.
I think that a lot will unfold very shortly, really within the next 24 hours, as we see how the Brotherhood reacts to the events of today. And I am hoping, as it seems some of the other commentators were earlier on this program, that things will not erupt into civil war and be highly combustible. It does seem that the military wants to avoid this. But I think that that the way that the public responds, whether they respond violently or whether they respond by allowing political processes to take place, will make a big difference for what happens next.
Jill Goldenzeel, research fellow at the International Security Program at Harvard University, commenting on what we are witnessing, history, as President Morsi is replaced by the military in Egypt. Thanks so much.
Thank you.